Thank you.
It is nice to be here. It's really a joy to be with you guys. They took us to the Armstrong Redwoods, you know? Man, there's a perspective. Like, okay, this plant was here at the Battle of Hastings, you know? Like, this plant is here when the Normans invaded England. This plant has been, and in that grove, the stillness, it was so serene, so still. And you could just hear time. Just that whisper of time, you know, that whisper saying, there is nothing new under the sun. Have you guys ever heard that song, that I am a C, I am a C-H, I am a C-H-R-I-S-T-I-A-N, and I have C-H-R-I-S-T in my H-E-A-R-T, and I will L-I-V-E-E-T-E-R-N-A-L-I-Y, right? How many of you know that? A few of you do? Good? Isn't that a fun song? Let's do one. This is just something you can take away from today in case I absolutely babble and make no sense at all and there's no interpretation for my tongues, okay? Ain. Ain. Ain.
Ain.
Ain.
Ain.
Good. Ain Kol.
Ain Kol.
Ain Kol Hadash.
Ain Kol Hadash.
Oh, you guys are good. Ain Kol Hadash Tahat. Ein kol hadash tahat. Got it? Ein kol hadash tahat. Good. Ein kol hadash tahat hashamish. Ein kol hadash tahat hashamish. Good. Ein kol hadash tahat hashamish. There is nothing new under the sun. In Kol Hadash, Tahat Hashamish. Hashamish is the sun. Ain, not Kol Hadash, nothing new. Tahat, underneath. In Kol Hadash, Tahat Hashamish. In Kol Hadash, Tahat Hashamish. Good. You stand in the redwoods and hear In Kol Hadash, Tahat Hashamish. In Kol Hadash. Tahat Hashamish. There is nothing new under the sun. There's nothing new under the sun. And that tree just stands, and it's got the burn marks up the side, right? You're like, wow. We were all arguing, when did that fire take place? I'm betting now, looking back, that wasn't just one fire. Ein kol tahat, ein kol harash, tahat hashamish. That is a very demotivating understanding. There is a kind of demotivating clarity to Ecclesiastes, right? Whoever that guy was, he had an insight that will just take all the wind out of your sails. Because he's right. There is nothing new under the sun. And we keep trying to make something new under the sun, but there's nothing new under the sun. We keep wanting to find something new. At least Zuckerberg does. But ironically, you know, he's our neighbor, by the way. He lives just up the road from where we live. And he's doing the plantation thing. It's like, that's been done in Hawaii. You know that. You bought a few thousand acres and you have your plantation. That's been done a couple of times. And everybody who does that dies. In Kol Hadash Tahat Hashemesh. Let's listen to the cheery words of Ecclesiastes here for a moment, okay? Maybe Bible. Actually, you know what? You don't even have to turn there. I'll read them for you. I'm literate, and we don't have to project it. I mean, listen to this guy. We've heard this before, but listen to this again. And just think of the redwoods. The redwoods there. And the repetition and society grasping for things over and over again and not making any progress. The words of the teacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem, meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher, utterly meaningless. You know, he simultaneously, this guy is the sad kid in the back of the coffee house, right, with a hair like this. It's just meaningless, dude. It's meaningless. There's just nothing there. The too thin kid. But he's also the 95-year-old. Going, you know, it's meaningless. It's meaningless. It's meaningless. Somewhere in between there's a rolling stone. right? Who's 75 going, I can do another tour, but it's meaningless, but I got to keep going, right? Keith Richards there going, I haven't had a sip of water in 60 years, okay? You know? Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher, utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. What does a man gain from all of his labor at which he toils under the sun? Generations come and generations go, but the earth sits there forever. The sun rises and the sun sets, and it hurries back to where it rises, and the wind blows to the south and it turns to the north. Round and round it goes, ever returning on its course, and all the streams flow into the sea, and the sea isn't full. To the place the streams come from, there they go again. All things are wearisome. More than one can say. The eye never has enough of seeing. The ear never has its fill of hearing. And what has been will be again. And what has been done will be done again. There's nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which one can say, look, here's something new. It was here already. Long ago. It was here before our time. There's no remembrance of men of old, and even those who are yet to come will not be remembered by those who follow. Even those who are to come will not be remembered by those who follow. And part of the irony is that we don't know this guy's name, but his writings are here, and yet we don't even know who he was. So, I'm betting... I'm just going to wager. Who was vice president under Wilson? Woodrow Wilson again? Who was that? Who was vice president under Woodrow Wilson? Vice president. Come on. Teddy Roosevelt. Yeah. Because we all keep track of that, right? Those powerful people. Who was vice president under Eisenhower? Yeah, right? Sargon. Sargon the First, right? How many of you know Sargon the First? Right? Sargon the First. Sargon the Great. Emperor. Sargon of the old Akkadian or Babylonian Empire. Most powerful man in the world in his day. Sargon, you know? Oh, that guy? I thought you were talking about like one of the basic elemental gases. Sargon, you know. And they won't, even those to come will not be remembered by those after them. We think we're such big things, right? We are belches in a hurricane. Do you like that ecclesiastical euphemism? I got a lot of those. I mean, listen to this guy. He just knows this stuff. And he is jaded, but it's not just jading, it's insight. There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to uproot, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to tear down, and a time to build, a time to weep, a time to laugh. And you don't never know what time it is, right? You just think it's one of those and it's the other time. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones. A time to gather them. A time to embrace. A time to refrain. A time to search and a time to give up. And a time to keep and a time to throw away. And a time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent. And people most say Adam right after there. It's a bearing text. A time to be silent, Adam. And a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. And what does the worker gain from his toil? What do you get for all that? Well, there's a time for this and time for that. Sometimes we're gathering stones. Other times we're throwing them away. And then sometimes, you know, we're loving. Sometimes we're warring. Sometimes we're doing this and we're doing that. And there's just all these different times. We just spend our life changing what we're doing. And what do we get from all that stuff? He says we get absolutely nothing. God bless you. Have a nice day. Go home. I have seen the burden God has laid on men. He's made everything beautiful in its time. He's also set eternity in the hearts of men, and they can't fathom what God has done from beginning to end. And I know there's nothing better than for men to be happy and do good while they live, that everyone may eat and drink and find satisfaction in his toil. This is the gift of God, and I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it. Nothing can be taken from it. God does it so that men will revere him. Whatever has already been and what he has been before and what he has been before, and God will call the past to account. And what will be has been before, and God will call the past to account. And I saw something else under the sun. In the place of judgment, wickedness was there. And in the place of justice, wickedness was there. And I thought in my heart, God will bring to judgment both the righteous and the wicked, for there will be a time for everything and a time for every deed. And I also thought, as for men, God tests them so they can see that they're like animals. Man's fate is like that of the animals. The same fate awaits them both. As one dies, so dies the other. All have the same breath. Man has no advantage over the animal. Everything is meaningless. All go to the same place. All come from dust. And to dust all return. So that's a motivational speech. And I looked again, chapter 4, and I saw all the oppression that was taking place under the sun. I saw the tears of the oppressed, and they have no comforter. And power was on the side of the oppressors, and they have no comforter. Verse 4. Chapter 4, and I saw all the labor and all the achievement spring from man's envy of his neighbor. This too is meaningless and grasping after wind. And I saw something, verse 7, meaningless under the sun. There was a man all alone, and he didn't have a son or a brother, and that there was no end to his toil, yet his eyes weren't content with his wealth. For whom am I toiling, he asked, and why am I depriving myself of enjoyment? This too is meaningless and miserable business. In Kol Hadash, Tahat HaShamash, there is nothing new under the sun, and time keeps going on. Now, as an anthropologist, as a social scientist, that's very interesting to me. We did a kind of a painful thing this last year. I recently published a book that involved with urban theory. And then we got in a car and we drove across the nation. You know what we saw as we drove from Orange County to Charleston, you know, from the Pacific to the Atlantic? Had to swim in the Pacific the day that we left, and then had to swim in the Atlantic the day we arrived. You know what we saw? The same thing over and over and over. You know how many Dollar General stores there are? Oh, my goodness. Dollar General stores. The same equations. You know, and I'm driving my wife nuts by commenting on urban theory the entire time. And you're right. Oh, that's this is that section of town, and this is this condensation of density, and this is how it's urbanizing, and this is the entrepreneurial city doing this. And I'm commenting on all of this urbanization and globalization until now. Okay, I have now made my wife depressed permanently. Isn't that nice? You're welcome, darling. We drive up to Cloverdale yesterday. Gorgeous, you know, I'm going to go see something. Isn't it? You're Cloverdale, right? And we're driving through town, and she's going, oh, yeah, that's where the workers are, and this is where the, right? And you can see it. In Kol Tap, right? In Kol Harash, Tat HaShamish. And she's pointing out to me. You can see, oh, yes, this is the rental high density where the workers are, and they're going to move up to these smaller boxes that have no yards. But then you move up to the larger boxes with the slightly larger yard, and she goes, and when you're at, and I, actually, I said this, and when you go further left, she goes, oh, there it is, the house on the hill. You know, with the plot for sale at the end of town, 30 acres of high luxury homes, site coming, right? Yeah. There we go. thus, yeah, that's the Marshall policy, right? Yeah. That's great. And now he lives in trivia land, okay? You were the vice president, but now you're a trivia point. Good? That's excellent. The Marshall Plan, yeah. The Marshall Plan. So, the same things happening over and over again. And you see, the oppression and the exploitation and power is on the side of others. And the equation just keeps going. And it just keeps happening and unfolding in front of our eyes. We drive by the vineyards and like, of course there are worker housing right next to the vineyards. Because the vineyards are vineyards. And vineyards, how long have vineyards been planted? Huh? This many centuries. People, human beings have been planting vineyards this many centuries. And you know what's required all of those centuries? Workers. Workers who do exactly the same things as they did in 2000 BC, walking out and trimming vines and gathering grapes and crushing grapes. I mean, okay, so you have some machines do some of it, but most of it is workers, hired laborers, workers out there doing that thing. And that equation is the same equation that's going on in urban places without vineyards, but it's the same equation. Anybody here ever stop by Home Depot? Right? What is at the driveway? Can you see it now of every Home Depot? Yep. And at the driveway where you drive out. Oh, the workers. The workers. And we know who these people are. They are fulfilling a status and a role in society. These are the same people. And if you go halfway across the nation, you go to Oklahoma and you go to a Home Depot and you drive out of that driveway, it's like, didn't I see you in California? You are those same guys. And you know who those guys are? Those guys are the guys who have been doing that for 3,000 years. Because they are exactly the same guys who were doing that in England in the Middle Ages and in the Middle East in 1,000 years BC. This is the same thing has been happening. Nothing new under the sun, going round and round and round, doing exactly the same thing. Now, any of you hired those guys? You did? Yeah. What's that like? What's that experience like? Now, understand, you're the oppressor. You're the exploiter. Spanglish? Yeah. I mean, it's funny. The same scenario played out. We were crossing we drove to El Salvador, which is, I highly don't recommend. Okay? High on my list of things never to do again in my life. We were driving to El Salvador, and we got to the Mexico-Guatemala border, and the line was like, I think it was 3 or 4 miles long. Anyway, we finally get to the border. We get past the border. As soon as we get across, we're just mobbed with guys. Same sort of thing. You drive out to the driveway, and what happens early in the morning? You go to the driveway, and they mob you. Who are the guys? Let's name the guys they're mobbing you at the car. Who are they? Yes. Who are the guys who want the jobs? Who are these characters? It's like high school. Everybody has the same high school yearbook. The names just changed, right? Who are these guys? Young workers. Who do you look for? There's always somebody, right? He's like, this guy's yoked. He's absolute, right? He's like, I'll take you. And then there's the other guy, slightly portly. And you go, that guy gets a lot of work. I'll take him too. Because the slightly portly guy, he gets a lot of jobs, doesn't he? And they are aggressive. And what do you haggle for in those moments? What are you going to pay him? What do you want? You want the guy who's going to do the fastest, strongest work for the least amount of money, right? Now, what happens if you roll in there about 6 o'clock in the afternoon? Nobody there. Who's there? Huh? The rejects. The rejects. Let's go to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. Jesus told a story about people who are exactly the same people as live in our world, because this thing has been going on time immemorial. There we are. Chapter 20, verse 1. Matthew 20, verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like... Actually, let's back up a little. Let's get some traction on this and run up to it. Start at 1922. The guy came to Jesus and said, I'll follow you anywhere. And Jesus, as he does with volunteers, said, yep, well, give me everything first. And the guy said, can't do that. Pick up verse 22. The young man heard this. He went away sad because he had great wealth. And Jesus said to his disciples, I tell you the truth. It's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. I tell you again, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. It's easier to suck a Volkswagen through a drinking straw than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard this, they went, oh yeah, of course, boss. No, they said, what? They were greatly astonished and asked, well, then who can be saved? Because we do equate wealth with success and godliness. God must be blessing them. Look how much money they have. And Jesus looked at him and said, with man, it's impossible. With God, God can do anything. Don't worry about it. And Peter answered, well, we've left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us? Because that's how Peter sounds in my mind. And Jesus says, I tell you the truth, that the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits in his glorious throne, you have followed me, will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who's left houses or brothers or fathers or sisters or father or mother or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first. Though I'm going to turn the whole thing upside down. And he says, for the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning. Can't you just imagine the morning with a cool mist on the hills in the vineyards, right? To hire men to work in his vineyard. And he drove down to Home Depot and he agreed to pay them $200 a day. And he sent them into the vineyard. And about the third hour, what's the third hour? Third hour from the morning is 9 o'clock in the morning. And he saw other people standing in the marketplace doing nothing. And he told them, you also go out and work in my vineyard and I'll pay you whatever is right. And so they went. And he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock in the afternoon and did the same thing. And about the 11th hour, which is about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. And he asked them, why are you standing here all day long doing nothing? Who's left at Home Depot at 5 o'clock in the afternoon? The broken people. These are the guys who already worked themselves into incapacity. These are the guys with no knees left. These are the guys who've carried heavy girders too long. They can't carry 60-pound bags anymore because they have no discs left in their backs because they've been worked out and exploited and they're broken. These are the people who are sick and arthritic. These are the people who just can't produce and they get left out how many days of the week? Every day of the week until you're so broken you can't work and then you fail and a young guy takes your place because there's nothing new under the sun and that's how it rolls. And this guy goes out and he gets the hot guys in the morning, then he gets the not quite so good workers at noon, then the kind of slow guys at 3, and by 5 o'clock there's nothing left but the guys who can't get any work. And he says, why are you just hanging around here? You've been standing all day, and they say what? Nobody would hire us. Nobody would hire us. This is not just the clock. It's that these guys can't get work. They can't because nobody will hire them. Nobody will take them because people want their work well done. Jesus says, go out there, and I'll give you what's fair. What kind of a deal do they think they're going to get? They're going to get the junk deal. They're going to get $10. For whatever, you know, they're thinking we're going to be hauling rubbish. We're just going to be doing cleanup. We're going to be sweeping the floors. We're going to be working the end of it because we can't do anything else. And we're going to get a little pittance for the day. But, you know, like, why bother? Why even bother? And they have a choice to make. Do it or don't do it because they're going to get nothing. So when those who came who were, and this is the workers were hired about the 11 hour came, it says, sorry, no one has hired us, they answered. He said to him, you go work in my vineyard. When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired, and go on to the first. The workers, look who he's paying who first? The broken ones first. And the workers who were hired about the 11th hour came and each received a denarius, $200, right? Full day's wages, one silver piece about the size of a dime. So when those who were hired first, they expect to receive more. You know, the yoked guy's like, yeah, I did 12 hours. Didn't even feel it. If that broken person gets $200 for an hour's worth of work, I am scoring today. And they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius, $200. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landlord. These guys who were hired last worked only an hour. They're used to beating those guys every day. And he said, you've made them equal to us who've done the burden of the work and the heat of the day. Because they could carry it, couldn't they? And he answered unto them, friend, I'm not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? You take your pay and go. If I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I gave you, don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I'm generous? So, and this is Jesus telling this story. He goes, so the last will be first and the first will be last. There's something new under the sun. Because this isn't how it rolls. There is something new under the sun. You know what it is? The grace of Jesus Christ. See, but God has bracketed human life with futility on one side. And you go, it doesn't matter what you do in your life. It is plastic cutlery on a granite mountain. Okay? We are not going to make a mark. And he puts futility on one side to keep us humble. And then he compensates that with grace over on the other side to fill up the gaps. And that is new. And like Jesus says, behold, I do a new thing. You know what that also means? Typically speaking, if you start serving the Lord when you're a teenager, you know, or any other sort of career, you're accomplished if you spend the whole time. You know what? It doesn't matter in God's economy whether you start as a teenager at all. He doesn't care. I find it so interesting that God trained the big three, you know. Jesus trained the big three, Peter, James, and John. And James and John are brothers. And then there's Peter who's kind of, right? And he pours his life into these three for 3 years. And right in a couple of chapters of Acts, James gets his head cut off. Why did Jesus pour all that time and effort into him? He didn't do a thing. Because Jesus doesn't care. Jesus doesn't care what's past for you. He doesn't care how the last 11 hours have been spent, or the last 9 hours have been spent, or the last 6 hours have been spent, or the last 3 hours have been spent, or if you just got up. He just cares. Are you available now, and will you let me use you now? Let's forget about all that other stuff. Let's start now, and let's go from here. He says, and I will take care of you. Trust me. I've got you. I've got your back. And your reward is just the same as if you started at 16. You know, it's fun for me. I got to spend my life serving the Lord. That's awesome. But the Lord doesn't care. It's not like you get anything extra. The Lord goes, how much time you got left? So you say, what does it cost to get a full reward in heaven? He goes, what you got? Like, well, I got 6 months left of my life. He goes, that'll work. Give me that. Yeah, but there's so much. This is the word to you, River Fellowship. Rivership. It's like, yeah, me and my paddle wheel, right? This is the word to you, River Fellowship. The rivership. You know? We're about 1,000 miles west of that. Okay, good. The word to you, do not mourn past days. Do not mourn any past days of your life. Did you spend your life as a sinner? Don't mourn it. Did you spend your life being greedy? Don't mourn it. Did you spend your life following false things? Don't mourn it. Did you waste every minute up until right now? Don't mourn it. go from here right now. And do not consider that, you know, the big yoked, whatever it might be, whether it might be a business next to you, it might be a church next to you, it might be somebody that you know, it might be some hero of faith that you read about in a book that you just go, I'm a grasshopper compared to them. Forget about it. That's what trapped the Israelites out of the promised land. They go, we were as grasshoppers in our own eyes. The Lord says, what do you have right now? Are you strong or are you broken? I don't care what you are. I'm going to use you. Give me you. Give me you. And you will get the reward. These workers had every reason to be suspicious about what fair might mean. Jesus didn't tell them how much they'd get. The owner didn't tell them how much they'd get. He just, go do it. I will give you what's fair. The word for you, give God what you have left. He will give you what's fair. And you will be very happy about that. Very, very happy. Happy, because he'll feed 5,000 people with a happy meal. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for making so much out of so little. Bless you, Lord. Thank you for our breaths. Thank you for our heartbeats. Thank you for your incredible grace, and thank you for your perspective. We love you so much. Would you please pour out your favor on River Fellowship? Make River Fellowship a city on a hill that can't be hidden. Make it a light to the world and a salt of the earth. Glorify yourself here as you have already glorified in the past. Do more what you do, please, Lord. In your name and to your glory. Amen.